don't know what I did with it.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
I'll change the world. What it used to be.
Can't
do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now. Fall fire. Fall preaching. Fall preaching.
Everybody, no more backwards thinking, time for thinking ahead. Welcome, 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 listeners all around this beautiful world to Bring Back the Family. I am your host for Bring Back the Family, Kathy Kleiber, and I am happy and glad that you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. So first, we want to acknowledge God's words with the scripture and the prayer. And we have with us today is Mr. Marlon Buck, and he is one of our little bucks. And he's going to read our scripture for today and give us a short prayer. Okay.
Hi, this is Marlon. Hi, this is Marlon, and I'll be reading a scripture called Love and Action, Romans 12, 9 to 21. I'll be reading for you a scripture and prayer. Love must be sincere. Hate is what is evil to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but your spiritual fever, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Bless those who have persecuted you. Bless those and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay for anyone's evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in your eyes for everyone. If it is possible, as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave the room for God's wrath, for it's written in mine to revenge. I will repay, says the Lord, on the contrary, if your enemy is hunger, feed him If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome my evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord add blessings to the heroes and doers of this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, young man Marlon. That is the grandson of Mrs. Joyce Carley, and she has done a wonderful job with that young man. And he needs everybody to put all their loving arms around him and reinforce what his grandmother is doing for him and the help that he is getting, and just you know, be there for whatever he needs. Because, you know, we have a strong man presence at our church. And, you know, we got police officers and, you know, pastors, and just a lot for the young men to look up to. And so when we're having a problem with one of our boys, then we just send them over to one of the men in the church, and they have a good talk with them. And that's how it's supposed to be. Because we can't tell them everything. So they get to a certain point and a certain age that they don't want to hear nothing a woman got to say. So it takes a man to raise a man. And so I appreciate our men at our church, Runner for Christ Ministries, that will help any time that, you know, is asked to help with the youth and our young men, because we do need, you know, men to step up to be big brothers to the young men. So yeah, just want to thank the men in our church, Jonathan, Pastor O, Mackie, all of them that stand up and help and give these young men what they need to tell them, you know, not what we need to tell them. We can only tell them so much, but they got the things to tell them that's going to help them. Even my brother William, he helps out with leading and guiding of these young boys in the community, okay? Hats off to them. So, hey, wake up, everybody. The song says a lot, and it should give us a lot to think about, because something was going on back in that time when that song was made, and the song is still good and is still relevant today, because we're having the same problems that the song is talking about. And it's just, you know, a call for people to wake up, to get engaged, and to make a difference. It talks about hatred, war, and poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, and calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. Whose responsibility is it? It says, no more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead. It's a different time now. It's the same issues, but it's a different time. And it encourages all people to do better, because they do. They can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. So who is responsible, and who is willing to sacrifice and take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? So are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do to help our youth, okay? Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth, in order for them to be good, productive citizens, so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around this world. And all they need is a good foundation, okay? A good foundation to stand on. And we have been where they are, and they need us to lead and guide them. How are we going to do that? Hey, like we used to do. Whatever your parents did for you, do it for them, okay? And we propose doing it block by block. Do something in your block where you live. I said in my mind, I said, I'm going to help the ones that I see. So when I go out my door and I see kids on my block and I see them every day, those are the ones that I am going to help. Anybody else that want to come along. But right now, that's my goal right now is just to, when I walk out and I see kids on my block, those are the kids that I'm going to help. You know, if it's 10, if it's 20, whatever amount it is, that's who I'm going to help. And then I'll bring others in to help me. My family's a great big help to me. And so do something on your block. When you walk out the door and you see some kids on your block, find out what it is they need. Find out what's on their mind, what they're doing every day. You know, offer something. You know, offer them a book, a paper. Find out what their gifts and talents are. Ask them, you know, when you talk to kids, you can find out just about what it is that they're going to do. You know, what they want to do, what they're good at, and what they love. Just like we have gifts and talents that we have used and God gave us, he gave them to them too. You can't just forget about those little ones that's behind us. We got to pull them up. We have to talk to them positively and just let them know that they are somebody. You know, they are somebody. They all, I mean, they're our kids. They are somebody. We have to let them know that they're somebody, that they're special, and that they mean something, and that they're important to us, and they're important to the world. Okay? So block by block, do something in your block. Okay? So we got a lot to talk about today. You know, just going from one day to the next and just seeing so much and hearing so much that's going on in the world, you know, it gives me things to talk about. So it's always going to be something to talk about. It's always going to be something that we can do about what we're hearing. And we could choose to just, you know, close our eyes, lock our doors, and be up in our house thinking that we're safe. But that's going to run out, as we see, because we have to go out. And so I always try to encourage people, you know, like, this is one thing that you can do. You see kids on your block and you going to church, grab them up and take them to church with you. You know, check with their parents, you know, get a relationship going, talk to your neighbors and find out what it is that, you know, let them know what church you go to. We should know our neighbors. We knew our neighbors back when we were coming up. Everybody knew each other and everybody looked out for one another. So we need to try to get back to some of the old ways that it used to be. But it's not old, you know, because we know how to communicate. And so if we talk to our neighbors and get to know them and let them know, invite them to church, be creative about it. Because we have to get our kids back in church so that they can be well-rounded. They can get the worldly education, they can get the church education, and then they can put it all together, because wherever they go, they're going to deal with people, you know, with both. And so that way they'll be able to communicate, you know, in both facets, okay? So today, this morning, well, the kids that I see on my block, so we've been hanging out a lot lately. And so I take them out through the week. We go golfing on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then other activities. Went to the Science Center this week, I think it was, yeah. And then so I tell them, you know, with all that we're doing, on Sunday you have to be ready, dressed about 8:30, and ready to go to church, okay? And then they get an incentive for going to church, okay? So my little family was ready. They were dressed and they were ready to go. And they are enjoying church, okay? And church, you know, in the beginning, it's like, you know, baby, you have to teach them how to do church, or how to be. It's just like, you know, the socialism, the social part of it, teaching them social skills and church etiquette, you know, how to just sit quietly and pay attention. You know, they get antsy because they're kids, and even the little ones. And I don't, you know, just like be terribly upset with them or anything if they're moving around and being their age, because a six-year-old is not going to sit for a long time. So you have to just kind of keep them, you know, occupied. But at least he's there and he's looking and he's learning. Okay, so so we did went to Sunday school and we went to church. And so their Sunday school, their Bible class teacher was teaching today, Miss Sarah. And so, you know, they weren't paying attention much. So I was like, okay, so listen, this is what you do. You pay attention. Your teacher is teaching. I said, you don't know what she's going to ask you when you guys go back to class next week. You don't know what she's going to ask you, so be paying attention to what she's talking about. And boy, oh boy, before we got out of church, one of them asked me, can we go to the park after we leave church? Another one asked me, can we get pizza? And I was like, okay, I like that. So I like it when they ask me for stuff, because then I can give them the example of the quick quo pro thing, you know. So if I asked you to pay attention, sit quietly in church, and you didn't do it, so I gave them an example. You know, if you didn't do it, I said, and y'all asking me for stuff all the time, and I'm asking you for things too. So is it fair? Are you happy when you get the things you want? They say, yeah. I say, so should I be happy about the things that I want that you guys do for me? And they say, yeah. So so I just gave them an example. So you guys asked me to go to the park. You're asking me for pizza. And so I asked you guys to sit up and be, you know, quiet and listen and pay attention. And, you know, they did it, but then there was a little resistance. And so I gave them that example, and I know that they understood, you know, because they answered all the questions. So what made me happy is that they did listen to their teacher while she was speaking today. And she talked about Mary Magdalene and the labels that they put on her back in those times, like they put labels on us now. And so I asked each one of them to tell me something about what she said that made sense to them. And each one of them in their own, as far as what they learned, told me something about what she said. And it was so good. I almost started crying. I was just so happy, you know. And even the six-year-old was paying attention, and he said something. I kind of helped him, but he came up with the right answer. That just really made my heart glad, because, you know, they have to learn, and you never know what they're going to hear or what they're taking in. And they took in a lot. They really did. And, you know, as far as the way you treat people and things like that. And she had a very good message. I wish I could just go through it. But they all talked about the way you treat people and the names that they were calling, Mary Magdalene. And they hit on those. So I just asked them different questions, and they answered them. They did, and so that made my heart glad, okay? So, you know, grab some kids up, take them to church. We got to get this thing back rolling the way it used to be, you know, or better. We got to make it better, because if it helped you, if church helped you, then we know that it'll help these kids, you know. They talked about love today at church. So if these kids out here, I mean, obviously, if you're shooting people and killing one another, it's no love there. So someone has not shown these kids love. Somebody that showed them how to do what they're doing. We don't like it, but what we doing about it, okay? And so we are their examples. So if they're not seeing, like I said, I people watch all the time. We was at the gas station, and some men was there, and they was upset because the pump wasn't cut on when they got to their car. And they started, I mean, they were very angry. And they started cursing and saying, you know, words, and the kids was out. I was like, hey, I got kids here, you know. It can't be that serious, you know. And so this is how our kids learn, because they hear the adult talking any kind of way, you know, and then we get mad when we hear them say what they say. Or it might be okay with some of the parents that the kids talk that way. I don't know. But, yeah, we have to watch what we do, because all the little ones are watching us, okay? So that was one thing. And so I know Crystal was mentioning that at the school, in some places that they're, Crystal, from our Bible study and our Saturday worship service, was mentioning that the kids were in school in some areas, or already in school, and 5 days in, that they were fighting. You know, fighting already, you know. So where are they learning this? How do they know to just, you know, just let's just start fighting? That just sounds like a lot of hate, a lot of anger that we have to be fighting all the time, you know. Our kids have to feel like they're going to school to fight. So what are we talking about in our homes? What are we telling them? What are we preparing them for, you know? How do they know to go to school and fight and argue with people? And they're little people, you know. Are we showing them these things? Are we showing them these things that they're demonstrating? They're seeing it somewhere. So are they learning it from what we show them every day? Because they are doing it. They're doing it. They're fighting. They're saying words. And where are they learning it? And it has to be coming from the home, okay? It got me off my track. The kids coming in and out. they're going to school, and the first thing they want to do is fight. So, like I said, where is that behavior coming from? You know, a lot of parents, I think that they put their kids in their situations at home, you know, and we let them see us argue. We let them see us fight and handle our situations. And kids need to be kids, and they need to stay in their own, you know, little atmosphere. They need to know how to just be kids and stay kids, you know, at that time, because this is time a lot for them to be kids. And so if we're telling them all our problems and our issues, and they're seeing us argue back and forth and handling our situations in a negative manner, then how are they going to handle their relationships? So it's just a lot. It's a lot. And so today we're going to talk about, are we preparing our kids? Are we preparing them? What are we preparing them for? Are we preparing them to go, or are we preparing them to stay? So I was, you know, I talk to everybody I see. So I was at the gas station the other day, and I ran into a person that I knew, a young man, good father, good husband, and all of that. And I always asked about his family, his kids, and all that. And he said, I said, how your kids doing? You know, he said, oh, yeah, they all right there. You know, they ain't doing nothing. You know, they just at the house. And and I said, wow. I said, did you prepare for them to go? And he said, he looked at me like he was shocked about what I said. Like, man, you know. Well, maybe I didn't. And he kind of just shook his head real suddenly, like, no, I didn't. You don't realize I didn't prepare them. That's why they're still there, you know. So I guess he's there, his wife there, the kids are there, the grown kids and the grandkids. And guess what he said? He said, I just stay in the basement. He said, I just stay in the basement. And I was like, wow. So when we don't prepare them to go anywhere, I'll never forget, you know, when I asked him that, how he just kind of jumped. It's real, you know, sudden, you know. It was a sudden jump. And like, wow, like a light went off. And it was like, oh, man, that's the only thing I didn't do was prepare them. I gave them everything they wanted, everything they needed. They got a nice house. They got food to eat. They, you know, they went to school. They had clean clothes and everything, you know, but they're still there. And he was like, man, I didn't even prepare him to go. But now I want him to go. But now he got to hide in his basement. He said, I just stay in the basement. And I just been laughing at that all week. I was like, wow, you know. And like I said, I could go in my room and have me a good old sleep every day, put my head covers over my head and just put my blinders on and not even pay attention to what's going on in this world. And just say, oh, well, forget it. It'll work its way out. And he say, I'm just going in the basement. Let everybody else deal with that, you know. And so I guess to keep his kids safe, they just at home with him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have to prepare them to go. If we want them to stay around, we're going to just be hiding in our basement. We have to prepare them to go somewhere, to get lost. And I like that. I like for young folk to go get the experience that they need to, you know, and just explore and give us somewhere to go. I love it when my nieces and nephews tell me, oh, I'm moving here, I'm moving there. Good. Go. Get lost. Give us somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. So they're all around the world. And so we have to prepare them to go all around the world. Yeah. It's a big world out there. I said, and they could go any and everywhere that they want to go. Just pick a place. They go out the country. Uh-huh. And they can stay in the country, but it's a lot of states that they can visit and they can choose to live in. And all that's going to do is give you somewhere to go. Okay? Yeah. So that's it. You know, those parents that's not teaching them and not preparing them to go, you can't even catch a break. You know, somebody always coming. You can't even, you know, have quiet time together. You have to get those kids in a position where they can go, and then you and your wife can do whatever it is that y'all want to do. Y'all can sit back and relax and know that they're good because you done gave them what they need to know about God, and you done gave them what they need to know about taking care of themselves, you know, getting a career. And going to college or whatever and family, because you showed them a good foundation in what a family is about, okay? And so when you do those things in that order or whatever, you know, when you do those things, you don't have to worry about them. You don't have to worry about them. And so, you know, we have a lot of you know, what our kids, like these states and governments, that they have just came into our homes and they have like literally taken over our homes, you know, destroying and tearing our houses apart because you can't discipline your children no more. And so the police are called out to put the handcuffs on the parents. And, you know, you can't raise your children in your house. With everybody in your house, in your household. I was telling the kids today, I was like, now, what if me and you was in the same driver's seat driving? What would that look like? That would be a car wreck. So we got all these people in our homes telling us what to do and what we can't do, and it has turned into a big disaster. A big disaster. So now all what is happening is kids are turning into juvenile delinquents, and then they're just getting them ready for the, you know, just like assembly line for the next phase of the system, these prison systems, you know. And so the kids are using what the states and governments are giving them to fight their parents, and they're just, they're running away with it. They just lying, they're lying on their parents, say, oh, he hit me, or she hit me, they hit me. And so they're coming out, you know, putting you under investigation and taking you through all this red tape and making it look like, you know, that they're the parent and you don't have any rights. And you can't run your own household. Okay? We can't even run our own household. Our houses are a mess. And I'm seeing it happen every day with these kids saying, oh, yeah, she hit me. Or he hit me. And they're not telling the truth. So, and they're going to believe the kids. And so by the time the parent get harassed and talked about all these charges, put you in these systems, and then they put you on record, they put you on paper, and it's making the parents give up. The parents, the grandparents, is making them give up to where they just giving their kids away. Okay, y'all think they could do a better job? Get the rolling. I'm going to pack you a little bag and you could go, you know. And so these are the things that are happening before our eyes, before our eyes. I don't know if you guys could see it, but it's a serious thing that's going on right now. And somehow we are going to have to get these people out of our homes and get our rights back. They're taking all of our rights away. And if we want our kids to be successful, we're going to have to help them. We're going to have to be the parents that, you know, that's busy with them, taking them and teaching them and showing them the way to go. Because no one is coming to help our children. No one is coming to help our children. They can't help them better than we can help them. Okay? We have to do it. We have to find a way to stick together and help one another. Like the village, you know, the village and the community. Okay? That village mentality. I'm not trying to run nobody's household. Just being aware of what we need to do and be an example of the help that we need. Okay? That's it. So if someone is willing to help you with your children, let them help. Let them help and be a help. Mm-hmm. They have a good relationship with all these parents, and they're glad that, you know, that their kids are busy. And we have to keep them busy. That's the key. That's the key to our kids not being in trouble. We have to keep them busy. We have to show them how to live. We have to show them about life. Somebody showed us. Somebody showed us what to do. And so our job is to show ours. It don't have to be your biological kid. It could be any kid. Just show them something good. Something good that they could take with them. Okay? They don't, the kids, our youth, they don't understand right now what we're trying to do for them. They don't understand, but we have to explain it to them. We have to tell them. We have to explain it to them what's going on in this world. We have to tell them the truth about everything and how important it is to have their education, because they have to take care of themselves. Okay? They have to be able to live and take care of themselves. And so that should make you feel strong. That should make you feel like, you know, okay, what am I going to do to help? What am I going to do to push this wagon along, to stop all this violence that we're seeing every day? Mm-hmm. Somebody been teaching these kids. They didn't learn all this on their own. So eventually that wave is going to pass. It's going to be going way out in the ocean. And so if we get started on these kids now and letting them know that we care about them, we love them, and we're going to show them some love, okay, because they learn from us. We're showing them love. This is how they learn to love. I didn't teach my nieces and nephews how to shoot and kill people. Mm-mm. Taught them how to love and then turn their loving This is how I know somebody is teaching these kids this, okay? They're not learning on their own. So it's up to us. No one is coming to help us. No one has came to help us. And so it's our job to do this. These are our kids. And if we want to see something better, we want to make this world a better place, then it's up to us to do it. It's up to us to do it. Okay. My kids, they're getting involved in golf. They go golfing every Tuesday and Thursday. Have a person by the name of Mr. John Moran that teach them how to golf. So they, you know, it's a 2 hour from 5 to 7 Tuesdays and Thursdays. We go to Belle Isle. We go to Palmer Park. We go to different places, and they're learning how to golf, and they're enjoying it. So you don't know what it is that they like unless you, you know, introduce them to it. They might not like it, but if you introduce them to it and show them that it can be fun and that it can be something that they could do, because people that golf, they make billions and billions of dollars, you know. And you never know when you're going to have another Serena and Venus Williams right in front of your face. You never know. Mm-hmm. You never know. That's why it was important with that sermon I heard today with Mary Magdalene. You never know what a person is going to do, you know, in their life to be a help. Or, you know, we got these million-dollar babies running around here, but we're not putting nothing into them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our kids are smart. And they need to know it. We have to be the ones to tell them that they're beautiful and that they're smart and that they're strong and that they can do it. Mm-hmm. They have a purpose here. And their purpose is not to be in chains and behind some bars like a caged animal. That's not their purpose. No, that's not their purpose. So let's just help a little bit, you know, every little bit help, every little bit help. So let's do the best that we can. Let's dig in and try to make this world a better place for our kids to live in, for us to be safe, for all of us to be safe. Okay? So that's a lot, and it's always going to be a lot. As long as we keep talking about it and, you know, doing, then we'll see some results. Things will start to get better. We'll see some results. Share, bring back the family with someone. Send your flyer, your notification that I send you out to 5 people. Everybody send one out, and everybody get to listening to the Bring Back the Family show, then we could all get on one accord, and we could see some changes going on, some good changes, okay? I'm having a good time, you know, and if God gave you that gift to be able to help with the youth, then do it. Don't sit on your gift. Do it. You know, and if he has it, you know, still, we can still do something to give. It's a lot of resources out here now for kids because people are seeing what's going on and they're starting to get programs going for our youth. Kennedy Center is going to be having some programs up there starting this fall, and it's a sign up, and they're having a back to school backpack and information session. I think it's September 10th, and I'll give you some more information about that next week. They have some programs that's going to be going on because everybody see that our youth need programs. They need something to do, and so make sure you take your kid up there and sign them up to whatever it is that they have them available to sign up for. to keep them busy and make sure they get there. And for the ones that just can't do hands-on, then, you know, find a way. You know, find a way to donate, or find a way, bring some resources and let us know about it so that we can, you know, put these kids in these programs so that they can, you know, be socialized. They can get what they need, you know, when it's time for them to go out and use what we give them.
Hold on. That little train wreck.
So, yeah, everybody could help do something, and we know what it is that we can do, and just do it. Do something, okay? Like I said, it's a lot of programs that's being formed in the community centers around, and I'll have more information about that. And like basketball, they have some kind of coding class that's going to be happening at Kennedy Center. Make sure the kids are signed up for that. Take a kid and sign them up for it, you know, if the parent can't do it. Or let a parent know that this is something you can keep your kid involved in. They have to stay busy. As long as we've been on this show, a little over a year now, and every parent that has successful, you know, kids, they all said that they keep them busy. They keep them busy. They keep them doing things, and they're involved. So we need more parental involvement. We care about our kids. You know, they're here. They didn't ask to come here. And so it's our job to make sure that they get off to a good start and have what they need to make it. All right. I'm going to bring in some help. So if you want to comment, got Miss Jackie. I have Miss Jackie on the line and Miss Pierce on the line, and anybody else that wants to comment or have some suggestions, some ideas, or something positive to say about our youth, or you might have done something that to help a youth out. We need to know what you're doing to help on your block to help these youth get what it is that they need to make it, okay? We need to hear some testimonies. So press 1 so that we could talk about this. I talked about a whole bunch. So, hi, Miss Jackie. You with us today? Wait a minute. Let me see. Hello. Okay, did I lose you guys? Let me see. Need a sound check.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Okay. I hear you.
Okay, because you know what? I looked at it and I was on mute. I apologize.
Okay,
so
okay,
how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Well,
and
great,
so you
great,
great. I was listening to what you were. I said
uh-huh.
I was listening.
I don't know why you're breaking up.
Oh, am I still breaking up?
Okay, keep talking.
Okay, I was listening what you were saying, and a couple of things
uh-huh.
that had came across my mind is that,
uh-huh.
and you kind of answered it, but some people probably want to know how can they get started, because
uh-huh.
a lot of times if you start with children when they are young, they have the expectations
uh-huh.
of going. But if you're starting with young teens, you have to find a way to find out how can you embrace them. So I was thinking
uh-huh.
about that, and sometimes we procrastinate
uh-huh.
as adults. So challenge them, but let them know I'm going to stop procrastinating as well. So I'm going to start doing what I was supposed to do, or my dreams or my desires, and I'm going to put forth the effort, and then let's meet up once a week and call Do Me and discuss what I put on the table, how I progress, that you tell me what you're doing or how you think I could do it better. And you kind of bring that dialogue in where now you're having a communication. But sometimes our children, like you said earlier, they're watching us.
Yes,
and if we are just working and like the gentleman going in the basement, sometimes you got to come up out of the basement and find out what is it that makes you, that you desire, because you know what? Everybody has some form of a gift.
Uh-huh.
And let's try to embrace that, but then get them concerned, interested in what you're doing as well. And you both become competitive in a good way, where they can do checks and balance with you and you can do checks and balance with them. It opens up a door of communication. Because I was thinking about myself as an example, mm-hmm. when I was challenging the little one. But listen, I said to him, "Oh, you didn't correct me today. You did not come and ask me if I fulfilled my requirements today. You have to hold me accountable just like I have to hold you accountable." And at first he got quiet, but I said that, "Do you think," and this was something you said when you were talking to the little one. You said,
mm-hmm.
"Your expectations, you expect this from me, but I also mm-hmm. expect that from you. I should be happy too." And that's mm-hmm. something we can do. And it's amazing how we both were on the same page but different arenas. And you do something for me as well as how you feel about me doing ABCD. Give me checks and balances. Mm-hmm. Ask me what I did, how I did it, and what can I do better to get mine done versus and you doing yours. And you check up behind each other. Sometimes mm-hmm. that'll open a line of communications where not only are you building, you're building a new relationship with that team, because that is so true, especially our boys. They don't want to talk about certain things with a female.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to find a way to communicate with them, because we all think different.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things that, and then something else you brought up. We need to ask ourselves, what is our purpose? You brought up the purpose in life. And find out from mm-hmm. our young people, what do they think their purpose is? I wrote that down, you know, taking notes on some of the things that you had brought up today and some of the examples, because we all different. What is your future like? Getting them out of the house. Do you have a desire to go to college, or do you have a desire to learn a trade? Well, what do you think you need to do to prepare you for that direction? Either way, you have to know how to read and write very well, whether you go to college or whether you do a trade. So let's do this. Let's start reading, have our own little book club, especially if it's a large family, where you can have everybody get, select their book. If you don't have the money to buy it, go to the library, rent the book, have your own little book club, and everybody take 20 minutes a day in the house for their own quiet time and read their book. Mm-hmm. And then our day, everybody tells something about their book. That's your little book club in the family. And
yeah, I like
it's
that.
Bringing unity. It's bringing unity into the family. And it's mm-hmm. really, like you were saying earlier, it's taking control back from the streets of the world, taking control back in your household. You're not letting mm-hmm. the outside control your house. You know, mm-hmm. I am the woman of this house. I am the female of this house, the woman of this mm-hmm. house. You're taking your spot back, but you're doing
right.
it in a loving way. And I mm-hmm. think that's a lot of things that has to happen because it's easy to stick our head in the sand. But yet and still, when they get in trouble, it hurts our heart.
And then
we start questioning ourselves, what could we have did better? Or that child mm-hmm. is out there in the street that got killed. Well, what could I have mm-hmm. done better? Well, you know what? The ones that we have here that's still able to change, let's rally around them and send out prayers and love and talk to them every day, every single day, because you know what? When they get older, they're going to say, you know, I thought my auntie or my mama or my daddy was nagging at me. But I'm so glad that they kept on and kept me, pushing me in the right direction, because I can stand up on my own two feet. And that's so important because we don't want our children and we don't want them out there where they cannot be self-sufficient. But we have to find the interest. Like, for instance, you have the golfing for the younger children up to a certain age. What is available for children older than that? You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But even to that point,
yeah.
the season is almost gone, over. But the point is we could prepare for the next season, or do they have indoor golf? Where in the wintertime they could take lessons inside, because major decisions are made on golf course.
Mm. Right.
So
well,
it's
you know,
a whole...
A lot of the recreation centers are staying open to like 2 in the morning for the older kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, it's like a lock-in. And so the times, I know the Matrix Center does that on the grass shit. So the times that they figure that kids will be getting in trouble between like 10 and 2 in the morning, they keep the
mm-hmm.
recreation center open and let them play basketball, and they have different activities and things like that. So that's good. So that people are aware of what's going on and what our kids need now, you know, because they, or else they're going to be on the street getting in trouble. So they're keeping some of the recreation centers up. I know that's one that does it. I don't know how many more do it like that. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. But that's one way.
Because, you're right. And because our children is really, like you said, you're doing a great job, because, and I know how they be standing on your porch ready for you. But the thing about it is that you like an ever-ready battery. Not only that, helping mm-hmm. other people too. You know, you've helped me with a lot of things in my present situation. But even to that point, I'm proud of what you're doing, but we need to find a way how we can pull this chain of support together.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's
good that you're doing it, but we need to pull the chain of support together where you have a locked chain of survival where we can just bring this love of chain around these children where we're not going to lose these here to the world.
Mhm. And you would think that the parents would see what's going on right now and see that our kids are where they ended up in the end. It's just too much. And we're seeing all these things going on in the world right now. This 18 to 22 age is this violence that's going on, that they would kind of take a hold of these kids and say, okay, let me do something before they come knocking on my door telling me that my kid done did some horrible or tragic thing to somebody.
Right.
But it's like they won't take the responsibility and just seem like they're just letting things happen. I've seen where they spend more time with the court system versus, you know, putting that time, energy, and funds on that kid on this side before they
It was brought to my attention, and I had to agree that we were raised a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And when the time, even though there is you the little sister to Niecy and myself, and we was friends in school, but you were the little tight little one, so it's a different, almost a different generation with you, but we were all raised the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And our parents had expectations of us, and your older brothers and sisters had expectations for you. But today we have young mothers, young grandmothers, and in some cases young great grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
And the great grandmothers and the grandmothers and the mothers are out here trying to live the party life, and the children are basically on their own.
They're on their own.
And they don't have the time to invest in their children, because you have to invest in them. Yes, they're going to say, I don't want to do this, I'm not interested. Well, you know what? You're going to try it, and you're going to do it, and you're going to finish it. And if after you finish it and you don't want to do it anymore, that's your choice, but you know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody don't want to give up that time to be able to volunteer at the school,
mm-hmm,
or to and that way your child knows that I don't know when my mama is here at school. I have to be good. Or I don't know, the teacher don't know if when the mother's there and I have to teach right. Okay? But the point is that your involvement, your presence is killing two birds at one stone. Even to the point that even little things that you could do to support your children. You might not have, some people don't have a lot of money, but there's a lot of things that is free. There's a lot of things you do for kids. It would be great for one of the mothers to say, well, let me volunteer one day out of the week to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be a great help. But we still, even till that point, let's try to find a way where we can build that support chain, invisible chain, to circle around our children with the prayer and the love and the guidance to either help some kind of way. Some of us might not be able to do it physically, but there's other things we can do. You might have paperwork. Even though I can't, you know, recovering from COVID, I might not be able to be out there to help you physically, but if you need some paperwork done, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you need all their names on the roster who attend, I can do that. I can put it on the computer and, you know, but it all, every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah. Because, you know, when you stopped by my house, you had a bus load. you had little bitty ones. All ages.
Yeah. I always wanted me a bus. Always wanted me a van the Lord just protected me all these years because I would have like 20 kids in a van.
Right.
Yeah, trying to get them all in one spot, you know, in the place wherever we were going. This was back in the day. So,
yeah.
So I said, what's the sense of going to sit up in a parking lot for 8 to 10 hours while you're working, you know, and get something that can work for you. So, yeah.
So that's what I have to say.
And I know my nephew called in and talked about the environment. One day that we live in, our kids grow up in, and then the pastor Sarah at church talked about the environment as well. And, you know, it's like, so if your environment is not doing anything, you know, the environment around you, you're not, you know, no one's going anywhere. No one's going outside the community, the neighborhood. No one's getting good grades. No one's doing this. So it's like, okay, this is how we live around here. And so that's why it's important to take them out and show them something different, you know. Sometimes I take my kids, as soon as they get in the door of a place, they start climbing on stuff. Okay, no, this is not your house. This is somebody else's house. And so this is how you have to do in their house. This is their rules, you know. And so this is how they learn, but they won't learn. They only learn what they see in the environment. Now, if you don't take them out and show them something different, then teach them as they go, then, you know, they will stay in the behaviors that we see and exhibit. Here we got a caller. Go ahead, Ms. Carly. Do you have something you want to say?
Yes. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry I tuned in late. But first of all, I want to thank you and commend you on your excellent work dealing with the kids. You have taken time with both of my grandkids. But I do have an issue. Everybody is talking about, yes, it's the surroundings, take them out to do this. Keep them busy. Yes, that's my theory. But my other theory to the backbone is you're doing so much and they still act up. What is the solution for that? And this is what I get. You're doing too much. They expect this. You're giving them too much. But when we get home, okay, it's time to do this, do that, or they get an attitude. I do have this theory. Oh, I would take electronics away. That's even worse. The more you act up, the longer I will keep it. You have to earn it back. But I do have one issue with one of my grandkids. They just don't like that, especially the word no. I mean, they were happy. For example, can I go to the store? Well, first of all, I don't let none of my grandkids wander and go to the store. If you got to go to the store, I'm going to pick it up. We're going to go together. But if I said not right now, they persisted. Can I go repeatedly? Can I go? It gets to the point, you're supposed to only tell them once and not more than once. So, you know, I have a problem with, I guess they want me to change my mind. And some kids is just going to do what they're going to do. My household, no. I don't have company coming in and out. If you go on somewhere, I got to know the parent, this and that. You go on to the movie, oh, I'm going to go, which I don't like the movies, but I will go. So I need a solution. Go all out your way to accommodate the kid. What other solution you have in mind when they still have some issue, behavior? I don't like coming home. I don't want to read a book. I don't want to clean up. So explain to me or someone to help me. And a lot of people say, you overdid it. You gave them too much. No, it's not too much. It's their needs. I even have saying, oh, I don't have enough clothes. Let me tell you, you have enough clothes for me not to wash them for 2 months. You have more clothes. You should be appreciated. So in a situation like that, you know, I'm beginning to people say you need to start backing up. Stop doing so much. And that's where the problem, I think, may occur. If you don't do it, they will act out even more. Even though I said, before we go anywhere, you got to do this, you got to do that. So I'm trying to find out what's the solution in between this. Some advice.
Well, one thing you can't give up. You can't give up because God didn't give up on us. And, you know, it's a different day with these kids now, so we have to kind of move with the difference. A lot, and like our Pastor Sarah spoke about today, the different things that maybe have gone on in a person or a child's life that no one knows about, because it brings out these behaviors. And giving them too much, yeah, we can give them too much. But, I think I know that you gave them exactly what they need as far as to make it, because they are very intelligent kids, very intelligent. And you have put them in position to be able to go further in life, you know. But they need to know how to appreciate. And a lot of things, sometimes it's the father or the mother is not in their life. A lot of these boys need to be around men. After a while, yes, they don't want to hear nothing we got to say. Whatever's coming out of our mouth is like, yeah. They don't want to hear that. And they're not going to listen to it because they're at a certain age. So that's why they need that man. And you have to put them around some good, positive men that's going to talk to them. The man's supposed to talk to him. That's what I try to do. And that works. That works. Like I said, these states and governments have come into our homes and have taken over. So I gave young man earlier the example of me and him both being in the car driving in the same driver's seat. It's going to be a collision. So the states and government are coming to our homes, and they're running our homes, and it's giving these kids the opportunity to say, she did this. She hit me. And so it got our homes in a disarray. It's way out of order. And so now you don't have any choice but to keep calling the police or calling, their worker or somebody to get them in order. Which they can't run your household because they don't live there. You know what I mean?
Correct.
And like Jack said, we have to get back to taking over our own homes, and we have to do it. Well, she said we have to. The women have to be the woman of the house, and we have to show them in a loving, kind way, because these kids are violent now. We're not giving them the love that we used to give them. And so because their anger and their violence is coming from somewhere. And so we have to learn a way how to get them, to react to what it is that we want them to do. And we need to keep them in church. We need to keep them in church and around positive male figures. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
These boys, they don't want to hear nothing we have to say after they get a certain age because they start to like girls and women too. So they're just looking at you as another woman or another girl. That's what a man told me
You know, that they're looking at you as just being another woman or another girl. And they don't want to hear it. They want to hear it. That men understand men. That's the old probably to talk to us about that a little bit more. Jackie, you got anything for Miss Polly?
You know what, Miss? I'm going to tell you something. And you are right. You know, I had incident where, you know, my nephew's 16. And I noticed a couple of times we were talking to Tom, I immediately said, time out. Let's adjust your tone. I'm not your bud. I'm not your girl. I'm not your whatever else you all have slang out there that you use. You are not toe-to-toe with me, and you're not going to debate with me. Now, we're going to have an intellectual conversation, and let's reverse the role. I'm 16. And you're telling me what I need to do. So I said, come on, tell me. So he did, I don't want to do it. Why do I have to do it? You know, every time I talk to you, you just go on and on and on and on. He said, wait a minute, and then he said, okay, I understand. I had to reverse the role with him. Okay, mm-hmm. But he wasn't acting like that. But it was that that male coming out at him, and I told him, I said, see, I can't talk to you
mm-hmm.
at 16 like I would talk to you at 7. You're closer to a man than you are to a boy.
Right.
So you to be accountable for every word that come out of your mouth, every body language that you use. You have to be accountable for this. So when we talk, let's talk like we have accountability. So he kind of got quiet. So what I did with him is that he wanted to get something to eat, and we were talking about the course that we, because I'm using him as a trial to see how it worked. What is the name of it, Kathy? Certification.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed that he didn't do it. I said, well, and I used Kathy's term, well, you didn't. I asked you to do something and you didn't do it. So why should I accommodate you when you can't accommodate me? He said, well, you need to go in and look at it again. He completed everything I asked him to do. So today I had went back and checked behind him. He did the numbers I told him to do. But if the time on it didn't add up to an hour. So I told him, I said, oh, by the way, you owe me an hour. You owe me the hour for the day, but you owe me 27 minutes that you cut off that other time. I said, if you go back and add your minutes up, it only adds up to 33 minutes. So you cut me short. So when I get off, I'm going to see what time did he lock in for his, because the part that I'm supposed to do, I did mine. So he has to catch up with me. So one of the things is that we have to find, and another thing I used to do, and this is something that they really will correct them. Write a small essay on mm-hmm. the situation. And I want you to have your, cross your T's and dot your I's in this essay. If you continue to ask someone, can you go to the store and you know the rules, then I need you to find the research, go back and do that race again. Restate it, answer it, cite it, explain it, write an essay. Trust me, the essay will stop all behavior problems.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and I don't know why that just came up, but I used to do that with him. Okay, I asked you to do A, B, C, D, and I'm glad we have these discussions because it's bringing back things that I used to do that I can incorporate again. Because, okay, you were disobedient, well, let's write an essay on. And I expect this essay at a certain amount of time. When they continue to have to write an essay, it corrects behavior.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point about that. I used to do this, and it was related to their behavior. Had them to write 50 times, you know, I would not talk back. I would not, but I guess it just didn't really work because it's still happening.
No, right, but when they have to research other children that had the same behavior problem and come up with a resolution in that essay, it kind of opens that mind up to why
right.
do I need to be jailed? Because, see, they have to cite where they get this their information from in this essay. Either they have one site or two sites, but they had to look up someone with the same problem and how they solved that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And when they explained it, they had to come with their conclusion how what the solution to the problem is.
Okay, that's a good point, the conclusion they have to write. That's
mm-hmm.
good. I left that part out. I see everybody writing 50 times. You're going
right.
to remember, but I guess it didn't work too well.
But you know what? That's what we are here for, to help each other. Because,
mm-hmm.
and I take notes when Kathy be talking, because a lot of times, it is a lot of times when she's talking, she's really answering some questions that maybe you had in your mind that how to deal with a situation. Because like I told the lady today, she got upset, very upset about a situation. And she said, do you think I'm right? I said, well, I can't decide if you're right or wrong, but I would have handled it a little different. And sometimes when, and that goes back to what Kathy was saying, if you are fussing, fighting, and using profanity at home, then your child, the apple, is going to not roll that far from the tree. And when they get out
mm-hmm.
there, they're going to be aggressive as well. And then they're going to be attacking somebody that might not have aggression at home. Now, that child has to be subject to it. So we as adults, no matter how old we are, have to learn that somebody, whether it's in your family or out of your family, is watching you.
Mm-hmm.
A child watching you. You never know when those little eyes are peeping behind the tree watching you. So we have to, you know, and I know that you do this and you carry yourself, but the point is that the next person don't live like you. I agree. I'm coming from the old school. No, I want to know where you find, who you socializing with, who is in your arena, you know. And sometimes it gets out of control. You don't have control over it, where before I had control over it. But COVID put me in a situation that I don't have that control. But you know one thing I told them? I might not come out of the house, but I sure know how to pray.
Right. There you go. Amen to that. Amen.
But it ruffles some feathers. It ruffles some feathers. I said, trust me,
I know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And they get still for a second because they take for granted that you have a disability. Like my nephew, I told him something I wanted him to do, and I says, well, I got the battery. I'll come up there where you at. How are you going to get there? Well, my battery is working. I turned the car on while he was on the phone. But your tires, I can go somewhere and get somebody to put some air in the tire. And guess what? I will sit there with you until you complete it. My hat and all, because I have to wear one of them UV hats for the sun. And it's wide. Mm. And if that embarrasses you, it's going to be hat and me and you.
Mm.
He said, give me an hour to get it done.
Right.
I said, okay, you have an hour. I said to myself, Lord, thank you. Because you know good well I had nobody to put air in that tire. But,
when these boys get to be 15 and 16 years old, and we have already trained them and already taught them how to be, how to, you know, behave, how to, we done put them in good situation, put them in good schools. Then we have to let them go ahead and do what you taught them. We can't hold them back. We have to let them exercise their rights and what they know how to do and how they deal with situations. If we keep holding on to them and telling them to know about everything, they'll never be able to express themselves. And then that'll make a boy explode because he got all this stuff in him that they're not getting out. Like even just taking away a phone. You taking away a phone with these kids these days, that's their world right now. So we have to go into their world. And if we're taking away their phones and then we're taking it back, we're giving it to them, taking it back, giving it to them, taking it back, giving it to them, what do you think a dog would do if you did that to a dog?
Bite you.
He'd tear your butt up. Excuse me.
But if you make them use that phone to write that essay, you make them use that phone to write that essay. I said, if you make them use that phone to write that essay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But a 15-year-old, this is what they're doing right now. But if he's 15 and you done taught him and you have put him in the right positions, you put him in good school, with your grandson, the men that I put him around, they said, that's an intelligent, smart young man. They always tell me, and my brother just told me that today, that boy is very intelligent, you know. And so he's intelligent. How did he get so intelligent? He was put in the right situation. He might be gifted. He might be a gifted, intelligent young man. But I know for a fact that you put them in the right positions to be able to express themselves and be able to know how to handle themselves educationally. Okay? But now we have to kind of let them breathe. We got to kind of let them breathe and get into his own. Okay? Because now they just like, okay, I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. But if we hold them back, that'll make them explode. You know, I've seen it. We have to let these kids, if we give them what they need to make it, let them go. Especially because if they're 15, 16 years old, they only got two more years to be around you. So they have to be able to learn how to get along out in that world. Not just in the household, in the world, you know. And so we have to let them express themselves. We have to let them say, you know, what they, we got to hear them out. Whatever they have to say, hear them out first. Don't interrupt them. Hear them out so they can say what they need to say. And then maybe we could find out about ourselves and what they're saying. Because we're adults and we think we know it all. We do. We still we have to learn with these kids. You have to learn with them. And we can't give up on them because the world
the world will get them and show them another way. The system will get them and take advantage of them and show them another way. They're not in our homes, so they don't know. They really don't know what to do with our kids in our own homes. These are our kids, and we have to deal with them. Okay?
That's why
get
you
the help. Get the positive help that you need. Keep them in church. Keep them in front of these positive young men, these positive role model men, so that they can come into their own. I'm going to let the pastor elaborate on that later. Mm-hmm, yeah, but that's what I see, you know. But, yeah, when you get them where they need to be, then let them express themselves. Let them see what they're going to do. Let them go down 2-3 blocks by themselves and just see how they're going to handle it. They're going to be, when you're 15 years old, you almost grown. 3 more years before they
On their own. With today's society, it's not too good. That's my theory. You could be walking, someone want to pick with you, and I'm going to give you another example. He was at the park playing basketball. He done noticed somebody had a gun. Let's get ready to go. Let's go. That's why you need to be present, know the surrounding, know where they are going. That's why I chose right now. It's just too bad. And it's not easy being confined. I keep him busy. I always kept him busy. I kept him so busy, I was tired. Then they wonder, why are you so crazy? Well, I'm just, my body rejuvenating right now to catch up. So it's not like they don't have no experience from out. Oh, yes, I be out. I get compliments on them. Well-behaved kids, you know. I appreciate But they want to, it's other kids influence them. Oh, we done went here. We done did this. Why you can't do this? Why you can't do that? It's really other kids, too, doing some influence.
I agree with
both of you. And I was sitting here and I was thinking, you know, and you have a very good point, wanting to know where they at. That's where we teach them how to use the calendar book. You know, putting your whereabouts or your schedule in the calendar book, because good example. When they learn how to use the date book, if something happened this day a year ago, unless you can associate that day with a special activity, you cannot remember. But if you have it in your calendar book that on Sunday, what's the day, the 21st?
Yeah.
Okay. August 21st, I was on Miss Kathy Clyburn's show from 4 to 6 or 4 to 5:30 or whatever. Something is going to, if you put it in your calendar book, something a year from now, if you look back and you have to give accountability what you did that day, it's going to ring a bell. And so it's so when you tell them, let's work on this calendar book, put things in order, what you need to do and what time you completed it and where you have to go. It does more than one thing. It gives you an idea of what their calendar looks like, or they can do it online. Okay. But it gives you an idea what's on their mind, what direction that they're going. And a lot of times it tells you what they're thinking. Because my nephew said, I said, well, what if the situation was different and which he lost his mother. I said, and your surroundings were limited. He said, well, I would go, he said, with my son. It didn't hurt my feelings. I said, well, explain yourself. He said, because you're too strict. And I had to explain to him, and let me show you how good God works. I explained to him that I came back home because I promised my father that I would look out for my mother. But I was in New York, and I had a different lifestyle. A friend of mine from way back then sent me a clipping, a newspaper article, where I helped her with an environmental issue in New York City. I took a picture of it and sent it to him to let him know that the things I was telling you, here is a newspaper clipping to show you that documentation to show you that happened. He said, wow. But he heard me saying it, and I had to explain to him, it's not that I'm too strict. It's that I want your feet to touch grounds and experience things that you never experienced. I don't want you to waste time. When I was in college, at the end of a class, I worked so hard to maintain a certain grade. So at the end, I planned a trip to celebrate my hard work. And I said, you work hard and you treat yourself, you reward yourself for what you have worked, how hard you worked and what you put into it. Because now we're doing this thing that and going back to old ways, where his schooling is his business. That's his company. And what you put into your company is what you get paid. And we used to do that all the way from from preschool all the way up. We kind of got away from it after during the COVID. And then after I went through the situation I did, we got away from it. But the Lord brought it back to my attention. This kept him at a 4.0 and directed. His mind was focused. You got to pull that back in to him and make him know that this education is your business and you have to nourish it. So he thought that I was too strict, and he would prefer to go with my son because you wouldn't allow me to have any fun. That goes back to what Kathy was saying. At 16, you got to give them, you got to talk to them as they an adult, and I have to let them know you're 16, but you're in a different situation. So you got to calculate your every move as an adult would. I can't talk to you like a child, but I also have to learn how not to be so bossy and pull back and get his ideas and direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, sometimes I could just lock in, and when I turn that lock, boom, it's going this way. You know, when we're dealing with our boys, we got to think about how they're wired, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're wired totally different from us, and they don't want to hear that nagging, because after a while, mm-hmm. your mouth just becomes something that's working. And they go dead and they stop listening to you. You know, they're present, but they really don't hear nothing you're saying.
back in the day, the iron cord was the neutralizer, and that thing hurt. And so we can't do those things now. So it's like they're out of control now, because it's like we can't put them in the headlock. You can't hit them with that iron cord no more. And so we got to learn and try to learn how to deal with them. And the best thing I think is just putting them around these positive men influence. We just gonna hope and pray that more men would step up and be the fathers that they could be, that they should be for these young men. Because most of the time, these young men are missing their dad, and they wonder why wondering why they don't want to be around them, or why they won't participate, or why they won't come and pick them up or take them away or get me out of this situation, you know. And so we have to think about that, you know, if that's what brings their anger on, or if that's what, you know, makes them rebel. These kids got a lot going on that we didn't have going on as kids. And they go to no therapist and lay on the couch. We got that iron cord. And that backhead, the head pulled, and the punch in the nose, all of that. We just got beat up. But we were not in jail. We never thought of inside, but we don't want to see a jail. Mm-mm. And so, no. Sometimes, we get studied a lot, and we say, okay, well, why is it that these kids not going to jail? Because they make money behind these systems, and they want to figure out how they can make more money. And so let's figure out, okay, they're beating the crap out of their kids, so we got to put a stop to that. We got to put a stop to it so they can get that, and we could lock them up and make this money that we're making. So we don't realize that it's more things against that we really don't realize. We're not even thinking way outside the box, and we have to. These things are being done on purpose. And so now we have no control. In our homes, we don't have no rights, so it's bad. So we have to find a way to keep them out of these systems that's making money on our kids. They don't care nothing about our kids. They're making this money. That's it. It's all about the money. It's greed, and it's getting uglier and uglier. We're not bringing these guns in here. We're not. If it was something that we got that we ain't supposed to have, they're going to make sure that we don't have them if it was something that was benefiting us. But it's not benefiting us. It's killing us. So they don't care if we have them, you know. Mm-hmm. So, hey, let's bring our pastor over in, because, man, I know that he has itching to get in and correct us and give us a little bit more direction. Our pastor O, he just buried his baby brother, and we have been praying for him, but you know, he has not missed a beat. He did his Bible class this week. Past week he did Sunday service, and he's ready for the show today. And he got these brothers. He said that they called them the overall boys, you know. And you know, and he acted like they were such bad boys, you know, when they were young. And they could have been, you know, but their mom had them in order, and they had their dad around to tell. You know, he tells stories about what his dad did and how they worked as a team to get them where they need to be. And so I know that God and their parents are proud of them, and probably saying, they're probably saying, how you like me now? You know, whatever they did back then, you know, they're doing well now. And they represented their baby brother at his services on Friday. And they're all ministers, you know. So they ran that service like some, you know, proudly. They ran that service, and I know that their parents were just overjoyed, and God was happy about, you know, what they are today. And so, Pastor, you all right?
Yes, I'm good. Yep, I've just been sitting here listening.
Yeah, them overall boys, I don't know.
Yeah, we were rough.
All right to me.
We were rough. We were rambunctious, and we were always experimenting, getting into stuff, because my father could do some of everything, and he taught us some of everything. We just took that knowledge and did some crazy stuff with it. But we were able to straighten out. God was able to straighten us out. You know, I've been listening, and what happens when you do everything right? Or the question really has to be asked, did we do everything right? Because if it came out really wrong, did we do everything right? Did we do everything that we know to do? I think one of the things that we have sort of left out of the equation and we kind of make light of it is not just giving the secular education, giving them the nice home, the nice clothes, the nice shoes, the nice, so they don't have to face those problems out in the world, because you know how other kids can be toward other kids who don't have what other kids have. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff is very important, but you cannot leave out the Bible. Let me give you a reason why. In Psalm 119, 9 through 16 says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. So right there, shoes won't do it, clothes won't do it, nice house won't do it, cars won't do it. None of that stuff will do it. It didn't mention any of that stuff. It's not to say that all of that is not important, but actually all of that stuff should be earned. I remember when I used to go to my father and say, Daddy, can I have a nickel? And he would say, no, if I just give it to you, I make a poor hustle out of you. And while I'm standing there with a twisted face wondering, what does that even mean? Then he said, I have something you can do to earn some money. Turns out it was more than a nickel, but I had to do something to earn it. I think that we want our kids' lives to be better than our lives, and that's okay. But are they really better? Because I remember having a neighbor who, when I asked him why don't his kids work, he said he didn't want to burn them out. They didn't even hardly know how to take the trash out. You know, so I think that the reason God gave parents children gets erased and parents come up with a reason why they have children. But listen to the rest of this. I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord, teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and then reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees. I will not forget your word. And so we can do all we want in those other areas of life, but if we don't give them the Bible, the word of God, if we don't have them where they can put that into their spirits, into their brain, when they get ready to do something in class that's crazy, the word of God could stop them. When I first got saved, I came up in a home where it was everywhere. Everything was everywhere. Get your education. Here, you need to know Jesus. Get your education. You need to know Jesus. So it was kind of both of them. Ultimately we were, we didn't have a problem learning things. The problem we had was doing right things. But then when that Bible came in, that's what made the difference. That's what made the difference. Both, they modeled both those things in front of us. And even though my father didn't say, you can't fornicate in this house, when he caught me with this girl, we weren't into it yet, but we were on our way. What he said is, to do that in this house, you need to be married. I've heard mothers on certain shows say they were discussing, would it be better if the child was having sex at home, and would that be better for you because you could at least know what they're doing and all this stuff, make sure they're being safe. And the parents were into it. And I'm like, really? Really? But that is what we've done. We've made education king, and you need it. If this thing is so complicated, because God has a specific plan for us, when we come into this world, he has a specific plan for us, and he gets the perfect 2-1 parents or grandparents, whoever he chooses to raise that child is going to have the most influence over them. That was all designed so they would reach that purpose. Because God, you know, if we believe Romans 8, that all things work together for the good of those who are called according to God's, who love God and are called according to his purpose. That means he has a purpose for us. Okay? And so parents, the parents he chooses to raise these children or the people he put around that had the heaviest influence over them are there for that purpose, to bring them to that purpose. It might be a road that goes this way, that way, and around this way, and roundabouts everywhere, but you end up at the right place. But what we leave out and where most what we're seeing today is an absence. We've raised a generation that don't know the Lord. The Lord that brought us over, they don't know him. They don't know him. We don't teach him to them. We don't do Sunday school no more. That's a old-fashioned tradition. We don't do Bible class at all, especially if you ask the parents in any given church, do you and your children sit down together or do you attend Bible class together? They'll tell you no. And the reason they don't is because they're busy trying to earn a living so these kids can have the things they need. And that is the trick. That is what the devil does. He makes the parents so busy raising money to raise the kids end up raising themselves. And then when they start exhibiting behaviors that's foreign to them, they pick those behaviors up from the people who showed them the most love. I think it was Tupac in one of his songs. His father was gone, and in one of his songs he said he knew the gang members was doing gang stuff and selling drugs, but they did show a young brother love. And so he exhibited the behavior, not of his mother, even though she was a crack fiend, still managed to raise him and his other siblings, okay? But the biggest influence over his life when he reached those teens was people outside the house. And so he started acting like them. He was sick and tired of seeing his mother struggling, so he started selling drugs like them. And it wasn't because he wanted to be a drug dealer. It was because that's all he knew. And so I think what we've done is we've left God out of the equation. We've just wrote him right out, and we wrote in education. And again, education is, without it, you know, God wants to get you to a certain place. You need a certain amount of education to get there. And so the devil, he got it where they're not getting the education in school, and they're not getting the Christian education. And how what we're seeing today is the result of that. That's when Adam and Eve decided they weren't going to do what God said, whole garden got tore up. This is the result of that. When Cain and Abel, when Cain decided I ain't going to do what God said, family got tore up. Separations. These people will follow God. These people don't. The whole world decided they're not going to do what God said. Whole world got tore up. Okay, but we keep repeating this same behavior. We get into the stuff of the world and the ways of the world, and we try to use the ways of the world to raise a child when they came from heaven, not the world. And we try to use the ways of the world, psychology and all this cycle babble that we talk, but our kids, look at our children today. Every single weekend, we're slaughtering each other in the streets. And the devil has worked this thing to where, like you were saying, kids call the police on you. He raped me. He tried to rape me. And so now you have adults who are scared to get involved with kids because that might happen. And so what the devil is doing is putting them on an island where he can have them all to himself. Today I was watching a report where teachers are quitting in droves. Why? Because these kids are really violent. And I saw a teacher getting stomped out by students. Of course, that teacher left. And so when you have, when I went to school, you could actually get paddled in school. Now if a teacher put their hands on you like that, it's a lawsuit. Okay, so the devil has put us in a position where our kids are on an island and we can't do too much, or they'll call the police on you. And corporal punishment is just about, well, out of school. So teachers are left defenseless. And then the parents come in who haven't been parented. And they're as bad as the kids. Kids and parents jumping on the teachers. This is where we are today. So how do we get from here? There's only one way. We have to bring God back into the picture big time. When black folks were in slavery, you couldn't turn left or right without Jesus. But when we came north, and got good money, and then we had our own little neighborhoods, and every store in the neighborhood, when I grew up in Ecorse, River Rouge, Southwest Detroit, every store was owned by a black family, every one of them. Mm-hmm. Now you'd be strained to find one in the neighborhood that's owned by a black family. What we did is started making money. And everything that money could get us, we no longer needed God for that. We don't need God for that. And then it got to the place where we just didn't need him at all. And what we're dealing with today is how do we come back from this prodigal situation that we find ourselves in, where we've walked away from God and we've started using the world to try to fix our kids. That won't work. If the Bible says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying the word, then there's no other way to win our young people back without the Bible. But we've gotten to the place in Texas, in their list of 41 books that they're planning on banning from education, from their schools, before they had sectioned it off that, okay, we'll let them read it when they get to this age. But now they're banning them all together, and they banned the Bible. And I know this was the devil, because you could take one version of the Bible and ban it and then come with another one. But this time the devil instituted a ban on all Bibles, all Bible versions. It specifically says Holy Bible and all versions. That means no Bible in school, period. Now, the best way parents can defeat that is smart parents who teach their children how to pray at home, their children know how to pray at school without praying out loud, without holding hands and singing Kumbaya. They don't have to do that. They know that they can pray in silence. Now, parents are challenged to send their children to school knowing the word. As much as we put into educating them, if we put half that much into giving them a biblical education and stop fighting with the Bible, stop disagreeing with the Bible, but agree with it wholly, and if we're stuck in a mess, then confess it and keep moving, right? But if we bring the Bible back, then we'll get our kids back. Other than that, Satan is just going to increase the violence, and he's going to increase in the laws that prevent us from doing the things for our children. You know, the economics, he runs that, not the government. Satan runs the economics, and he strains them to a T so that the children don't get either. He don't want them to have a secular education so their life would be a mess, and he definitely don't want them with a spiritual education so they can't overcome the secular mess. Our only way out is Jesus. But Jesus has been kicked out of the culture. And he won't come where he's not welcome. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open, I'll come in. And we can fellowship together, straighten out some things. But unless and until we can get parents reinvested in doing both, giving them the biblical education and giving them, and parents have to start living in front of their kids. I heard y'all talk about this. You know, now, look, you can do everything perfect, right, and kids still go crazy, like the prodigal son's father. He did everything right. Mm-hmm. Son still wanted to go off on his own. But as the Bible says, if we train up a child from birth from birth, not from 15 or 18, but train up a child from birth in the way they should go when they are old, like the prodigal son got older, got on his own, screwed it all up. He knew what to go back to. He had something other to refer to. But we, what do we leave our kids? We're not leaving them anything. They have nothing to go back to. And then, you know, we don't like to talk about this, but we have way too many single parents. I mean, people who don't even intend to ever get married, and then they try to raise kids. So already you're outside of God's will because you're doing this thing your way, right? You won't confess it. You won't repent of it. God can't help it. And so it's just a mess. It's just a hot mess because you're not going to call God into your mess and think he's going to be in it with you. He's not. You have to, if my people called by my name would turn from their wicked ways, repent, seek my face, then I will hear. Those are the steps. Old or New Testament, that's the way God operates. If we pray, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, that means his rule and authority over us. Okay? Thy will be done. That's the first part of the prayer. First, recognize our Father. Second, his kingdom. Third, his will. And then everything else falls out after that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest of it will be added. That's the way he operates Old or New Testament. So until we pull this thing, our only hope is to get our kids reinvested in church. And then they take what they learned in church and church, home church. Home church is more important than the church you go to. Home church is 168 hours. The church you go to is 2 hours at best. If you ain't doing Sunday school, it's an hour and a half. Okay, unless you got one of those churches that's just super holy and y'all got to do a whole lot of stuff. But other than that, you're there for about an hour and a half and you're out. Some only an hour. But out of 168 hours, so home church is more important than anything, more important than the once a week church, because the once a week church is just not going to do it. Look, the Lord calls for wholehearted commitment, and he told us how to do it, so it's not like we don't know how to do it. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone is the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. When we bring secular education so God can move you into strategic positions that he had planned for you, and Christian education to undergird all that secular stuff, then we have his kingdom, his righteousness, and all the rest. Will just, God already has a plan where you could end up, where the potential for your life could take you. Now, a lot of this is choice. It's God's conditional will, not his I'm going to do this will, because it relies on you. It's relational. You have something to do with it. You can say yes or no. Adam and Eve in the garden again. It was God's will that they didn't eat from that tree, okay? But they just wait until he shows them how to handle the knowledge of good and evil so they don't go crazy like they did. But they chose to do something else. So unless and until we get that back, then you cannot fix this. The devil's doing this, and he's spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. So if we're going to defeat him, we need spiritual weapons. And our children need to be weaponized, if you will let me say it that way. They need to go to school with a good Christian education they got at home. Other than that, my parents had to pray a lot. Okay, they kept it around us. We saw the Bible, my mothers and fathers going to church and living the life in front of us, but they had to pray a lot because we were the overall boys. My sisters weren't that bad, but we were the overall boys. That's what they called us. They stopped saying it was Gerald, it was Christopher. They just said it was them overall boys. I bet it was them overall boys. It was one of us. Most likely it was one of us or all of us. But anyway, my parents kept it up. And before you knew it, the Holy Spirit hit our house, and I started preaching first since I was the most messed up. And then my brother Richard got called in the next year. And then my brother John got called in after that. Me and Christopher pretty much came together. My brother Jason was the last to come in 2015. So my sisters, they were either already in. It was just me and Christopher were the real, real prodigals. You know, we were real. But both of us came about the same time. It happened to us about the same time, but I was the first one to get called to preach, and I was the worst one of the whole bunch. I don't even know how that happened. And you think in the house that I was raised in, that would have been the last life you would think that I would live, the life of a heartless, cold, conscienceless drug dealer. Will do anything to get some money so I could be like my father, because he took care of my mother, took care of all of us, and he was just one person. How can I do that? How can I get that much money? Well, sell dope. You'll do it. That'll be all right. Worst idea of my life. But I learned a lot from it, but I would much rather have learned it a different way, because you really go through something, you know. But anyway, unless we reintroduce the Word of God and we get parents reinvested, because parents, they're not invested. They're not, like I say, what broke my heart is one time is hearing a parent say, when I asked where's the child, that they said they didn't feel like coming to church today. They wasn't doing church today. And they were 11. And I'm like, wow. I remember when I told my father what I wasn't going to do, and I remember getting up off of the floor with my mother and my sister helping me up off the floor. So we live in a different day and a different time, and it's bad. It's real bad. But after having said all of that, block by block, look at the kids in your block. Pray for God to give you an entrance. Pray for God to give you favor. Pray for God to somehow develop a relationship between you and them where they trust you, where they'll listen to you. Pray for God to help you be more diplomatic about how you approach them to be in their life, because some of them are not looking for help. They think they got it all figured out. But you clearly say that you see they need help. So ask God to give you a way in. This show is definitely that, like I always say, it's the voice of John the Baptist crying in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. And it's calling people back to reality. Like, look, we need to get back to Jesus. Jesus was good enough to get us out of slavery. Jesus was good enough to get us through Reconstruction, through poll taxes, through riding on the back of the bus, through living in this country till 64 with no civil rights, couldn't even vote till 65, still have to have it revoted every 25 years if we even get to vote. Okay, God brought us through all of that, and look where we are today. And what did we do? We forgot God. And now our children are out of control. But all is not lost. We're still alive. Bring back the family is here. We're here. Interest is being raised. Who knows? Okay? God is making his effort through you, Kathy, with this show, with Jackie, with Sister Pierce, and with everybody who comes on here and has some way to contribute to how do we fix this. So put God back in. That's my answer. Put God back in and pray for God to give you avenues to help. And when God gives you an avenue to help, just seize it. Jump on it. Run with it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't wonder about it. Jump on it. Go with it because he's going to do it. Like you when you talked about everything that I've been through, that happened to me once before. This girl named Janice Richards, a member of our church, one day she was talking to me, and she just named all the stuff that I was doing. I didn't know I was doing all of that. And then I just heard you talking about, because it had been, I've done 3 funerals, preached 3 times, taught 3 classes, and all of this since the third Sunday in July. And August is not even over yet. And then eulogized my brother on Friday. And when you mentioned all of that, I was like, wow, that's a lot. But it's because Jesus is the one actually doing the stuff. He just used my body and my voice and my hands and stuff. Other than that, I would love to say I do it, but I don't. All I have to do is say yes, and then he fires me like now. He just fired me up. You know, I've got some stuff to do, but he just fires me up. Something about this show he loves. And no matter how tired I am, mind tired, body tired, doesn't make a difference. I feel the Holy Spirit and I'm on. And, yeah, I done preached, what, about 10 minutes now, 15? So he fires me up. But this is his, I know he into this. And if he's into it, then I want to be into it because I am excited to see where it's going. I feel like, you know, when Joyce Meyer first started, this is what it was like for her. Okay, you actually have more attendance than she had. She started with 10 people, and it went to 15, then 25, then 60, and now she speaks to over 6 billion people daily because her show and its reach, you know, and it's just unbelievable where it started, where her and her husband couldn't even afford the gas to get to the place she was supposed to go speak. And that's not a problem now. So I look at Bring Back the Family just like that. I'm anxious to see what the Lord is going to do. I'm just excited about it because somebody has to do something. Something has to get started. We can't just see this stuff happening and make no input, come up with no ideas, and just say, oh, well, this is the way it is. No, it can be different. We have the power to change this. We are overcomers through Christ, after all, right? So we have the power to change. We just have to be willing to do it. But it's scary because today is totally different. I mean, you know, the parents, you got to get past the kids might want to, but then you got the parents. I ain't letting them do that. Really?
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. But if we keep going, we'll win.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that in the next show as far as the parents, you know, holding the kids back purposely. And so that's another whole show. And, oh, my God. It's like it'll just have you in tears, you know, their thinking and their mental, you know, the way they think about making money off their own children and not letting them be productive. So it's really, it's wild. So.
Right, parents stand. You're welcome, parents stand in the system for income. When if they get out of that system, God give them more income than they can dream. Raising kids for the Lord gets you a big reward. Big reward. Nothing pleases him more than a parent who puts their all into raising their children, because they're doing it for him. He trusts the parents that he gives those kids to, whether it's the biological parents, familiar parents, or whatever, whoever he gives these kids to be raised, he's trusting them to do that. And he wouldn't give them to them if they couldn't do it. It's something about them that can help them become who he purposed them to be. And so, you know, right. That's if parents could see it like that, you know, they're not a burden. Just think about it. Martin Luther King's parents weren't rich, right? But they raised Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You think of every other great person. You don't know what you have.
Yeah. Can't just throw them away. You just have to be patient and wait it out. And they'll make it.
And never give up.
We got billion and million dollar babies walking around here. We just got to tap into them and give them the time that they need so that they can be the great, you know, what they're supposed to be in this world, you know, what they're supposed to be.
Like Israel Houghton's mother, you know, black father, white mother. She was ostracized, told to get an abortion. She didn't. She struggled. She raised that child. She had Israel Houghton. But who knew that back then? One of the songs he made, just to announce this is it for me, one of the song lines in his songs, it says, "I was acquainted with living in the streets. That was me." He literally was homeless, him and his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know what I mean? Never give up.
Never.
Just keep going. Just never give up. Yep. Just no matter what happens, see to it they get a Christian and secular education. They need both to fulfill the will that God and purpose God have for them. And God will reward you. And don't just think about earthly rewards. Think that one day you're going to leave here and there are heavenly rewards. Those are the ones you get to keep forever. Everything you have here, you're going to leave here.
Right. It's meaningless.
Exactly. Invest in heaven. Okay, that's my real close.
Oh, that was so yummy. That was good. It really, really was. Pastor, oh, just thank you. We're still praying for you. And baby brother is something else, you know. I love all my brothers. I don't want to lose not one of them.
No.
Yeah. Baby brother. That's kind of rough there. Uh-huh. You guys are close, you know. You guys are very close, so I know how that is, you know.
Yeah, very close. Very, very close.
And don't feel bad. I was one of the worst kids too, and because I got all those honor court whippings, you know. So I just figured I must be.
I thought I was the only one.
I had to be bad to be getting all them iron core whippings, but I did get them, and I'm glad I got them. Evidently, I did something wrong. I was doing something. They were trying to prevent something, so that was good. But after a certain time, my mom said, "You might as well leave that child alone because she just like you." So he was whooping himself. He was whooping himself. That's all he was doing. And so that was the last time I got a whooping. I was probably about 16 or something. I was too old to be getting whoopings. And so if they had just looked and saw, you know, what my gift was, then they would have been like, okay, that's something different. That's a different kind of child. And you know, and then worked on that part. So beat the crap out of me. But I'm still doing what I was doing back then. You know, messing with the kids, so that's good. Okay, so, but you know, I'm excited about bringing back the family too, and what I'm gonna, you know, do, what he has planned for it. But I said, this is not for nothing. It's just not. And, you know, when I look at, you know, the switchboard, it should be full of people. It should be full everybody's hand should be raised. Everybody should be trying to get some kind of input and some kind of way so that we could, you know, try to combat this thing and what they say to stop the bleeding. And so everybody should be concerned. You know, I hope they didn't just cover their head or they're in the basement hiding and thinking this thing is just going to go away. Share this broadcast with people. Share it. This is a start. No one's coming to help us. We have to help ourselves, and we have to help our children. We have to help them. They can't do it by themselves, and we can't do it alone. And we need to help each other do what it is that we need to do so we can help out. So we can help our youth, you know, and that's it. Okay.
Or are we going to keep suffering? A 12-year-old was robbed by a teenager for her shoes, and he shot her. Didn't kill her, but he shot her for her shoes. A 12-year-old walking down the street and got robbed for her shoes. That's where we are.
Yeah.
And if we don't need to bring back the family, I don't know what we need to do.
How many stories do we need to hear? How many stories do we need to hear before we get up and get busy? How many stories do we need to hear? And it's on us. It's on us.
Churches on every corner and all this going on.
Yeah. And it's on us. It's on us. And we have to just make up in our minds what it is that we're going to do to help. And God will give us what we need to do that we need to do. We just have to do it. Okay. And, yeah. That's it. My kids, they did well today. They had me in tears today, but... And we're going to talk about that in September, you know, the prison system and you know, what's going on in there and all that. And the reason we do what we do for them so that they won't be there. So, yeah. So I think we're going to talk about September and then next week. And we're going to finish talking about family and preparing our kids and things like that. So, any topic you guys want to talk about, just send it. Let me know, and we'll talk about it. Okay? A lot of resources. I'll have them for you next week. There's a lot going on, a lot of resources out there for the kids that you can involve yourself in with your youth. And to keep them busy, that's a part of it. And like Pastor said, gotta get them that Christian education. Very important. That's the well-rounded part of it. Them being well-rounded, they need it both. They need both. Yeah. And like all the, you know, the little girl getting shot for some shoes. You know, like you said, those things are gonna pass away, burn away. They're meaningless. Getting our kids all this expensive stuff, working ourselves to death to get them all these material things, and they're going to get dirty. They're going to grow out of them. It's not important. You know, we can't take any of this stuff with us, like you said. And we, you know, got to look forward to our heavenly life. So thank you, Pastor. Oh, that was cool.
You're welcome.
Good work. Yes, sir. Okay, well, hey, we got way over, and it was all worth it. So we will see everybody next week. Send the notification of Bring Back the Family to 5 people. Everybody send it to somebody and let them know what we're doing on Bring Back the Family so that we can find a way to help our kids. We can find the way that God wants to help our kids feel supported. And he'll give us what we need to do it, okay? Yeah, we depend on God. He'll help us do it. It's his world. That's all he is. So we should depend on him fully and wholly. All right. Love, love.
If I were a thimble. If I were a writer, I would use a pencil. I would use my voice. If I were a singer, no matter who or what we are, we must praise. If I was a doctor, I would use my research. A prolific dissertation. If I was a speaker, I would use my hands. If I were a potter, no matter. If I were an eagle, I would use my wings. Ooh, since I'm a believer, I use everything.
Come on, real big.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye people. Ooh, oh, oh, yeah. No matter.
Praise.